Yeah, coming into the Monty Show with some big boy today. How the heck are you, everybody? Super Bowl Friday is what we are here on the Monty Show. Make sure you find me on Twitter, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You can find me on Facebook, The Monty Show. You can find me on Instagram. Hey, you know, look, it's just a bunch of social media, right?
It's Friday.
Who cares?
It's Friday.
So, you know, The Monty Show. It's all The Monty Show. And it's all Super Bowl today. It's Larry Nassar. Did anybody see the guy that attacked Larry Nassar, the gymnastics petty, in court today? Ooh, that was crazy. We'll talk about that. There's frustration in Major League Baseball. Are we looking at a work stoppage in Major League Baseball right now? Athletes and fake Twitter accounts. Another guy got caught. Rooftoppers falling off a roof and dying. And why an air fryer is absolutely necessity for anybody with a set of genitalia. Okay, that came out different than I had envisioned in my head.
You know. Yeah.
Hi, Jake.
Hey.
How are you?
I am excellent. One of our houses has a verbal offer. It's Friday. The air fryer is working well, and it's Super Bowl Sunday coming, man.
Sell the flip.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Yes.
All right, little big boy. You should really find us on SoundCloud, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, on iTunes as well. And we're here to talk sports. It is Super Bowl Sunday. In about, 48 hours from now, we'll be playing the Super Bowl. We've said all week that the Patriots are going to win that game. How confident of that are you today on the Friday before the Super Bowl?
I feel pretty confident. The combination of Brady and Belichick is still obviously in place. And until that's not in place, I'm always going to pick the Patriots and Tom Brady and the guys. I mean, I just think their ability, what sets them apart, in my opinion, is their ability to get past adversity in the middle of the game. You can be up 28 points. You can be up 3 points. They are just so good at overcoming challenges in the game and making adjustments on the fly that it is really difficult to beat them.
Well, and I think pretty clearly there's one guy I'm looking at. It's Nick Foles. This guy had a great game against the Vikings. But I look at Nick Foles and I see the guy who was that quarterback before the Viking game. I don't see a great Nick Foles who was a world beater and the guy that was, you know, oh, man, he's going to tear up the Patriots. He's not going to tear up the Patriots. And he's not going to tear up the Patriots because the Patriots are very good against tight ends. The Eagles are not good against tight ends. I look at what Nick Foles needs to do to win this game. And I think the Patriots are really good at that, mainly because Kyle Vannoy is the guy, I think, who's a breakout star for that defense this year.
Yep.
And Kyle Vannoy's strength is covering the tight end. You know they're going to use Eric Rowe, oddly enough, another state of Utah guy. And I think, obviously, you're going to see a guy in Patrick Chung who's going to be heavily involved against the tight ends. But I'm talking a lot about tight ends, but I know that's an important position for you. So who's the one guy the Patriots have to stop on the Eagles?
Well, it's clearly Zach Ertz, in my opinion. I think you just talked a lot about how Nick Foles isn't going to tear up the Patriots. Nick Foles is a guy who is not on Brady's level as far as skill for quarterback. And so if I'm the Patriots, the one guy I want to stop is Zach Ertz because he's a big body. He's 6'5". The matchup is not always ideal, but you have guys like Eric Rowe, you have guys like McCourty who can get after him and stop him. And so I think if you shut down Zach Ertz and you make him a non-factor, that means they're going to have to run the ball with Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount, and they're not exactly world beaters. They're big physical backs. So really, you need to limit Foles' options. You need to make him uncomfortable, and hopefully that leads to a turnover. That's what you're hoping for.
Well, Stephon Gilmore and Alshon Jeffrey are going to be a fantastic matchup. They were college teammates at South Carolina. And I think Gilmore's game translates very well in this matchup because I also think that Nick Foles loves to get rid of the football.
Yeah.
He's a guy who wants to step and throw. And somehow you're going to have to take away those quick throws, the run-pass option. You're going to have to take that away from him. And the way you do that is you have to be really physical at the line of scrimmage. And I'm curious, that's really a dangerous game to play.
Yeah.
I mean, if you miss a jam at the line of scrimmage, guys like Alshon, guys like Zach Ertz are going to kill you.
Yep.
But you brought up Ajayi and Blount.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people look at those two backs as prolific. I don't view them as prolific. I I think Jay Ajayi was a really good trade for them. I think that's one of the better pickups that we saw, I would say, in the last probably 3 years.
Yeah.
I think he really helped Philadelphia. They never really did replace Shady McCoy to Buffalo.
Well, how could you?
Yeah, I mean, they never really replaced him. So I kind of feel like, hey, Ajayi's a good pickup. But Ajayi's not a guy that's going to burn away from you. He wants to go through you, not around you and by you. And I think that's a recipe for disaster against the Patriots, because that's a pretty good sound fundamental defense, in my opinion.
It is, and that's why I favor the Patriots in this matchup, because they have the better quarterback. They, in my opinion, they have way more experience. Tom Brady, fun fact of the day, Tom Brady has more Super Bowl experience on his own than the entire Eagles roster combined. So that gives you an idea of who has the experience advantage in this matchup. And then you look at what you were talking about, how sound fundamentally the Patriots' defense is. So if they can just be physical with Zach Ertz and punish him, they'll be fine.
RKB says he can't wait for the Super Bowl to be over so we can stop talking about the National Felony League. You meant football. No, he meant felony. That's exactly what he meant. So yeah, I actually love football. I will miss football. Because I like matchups like this. And I think one of the things that it's also what I love about baseball, by the way, but one of the things I really love about football is the little matchups inside the game. The fact that Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator of the Eagles, is 1-6 against Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots.
Yeah.
In the one game he won, Tom Brady played half the game.
Yeah.
So I don't really view that as significant. I think this is going to be a fascinating matchup. And I love the fact that Tom Brady is going to be a historic quarterback, because I don't love the Patriots. I am by no means, nobody will ever confuse me as a Patriot fan.
And it's easy come off of as that when you're talking about the greatness of Tom Brady and what he's been able to accomplish and really what he's done for the NFL. It's easy to come off as a Patriots lover, but really it's not that. It's just, hey, look, this is the conversation with Brady is the same conversation with Kobe and Jordan and any other great athlete you can think of. It's they are rare beings. You don't see them very often in sports. So we're not Patriot lovers. We respect what Tom Brady's been able to accomplish and really what's on the line for his legacy in this game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens if he wins. If Tom Brady wins two more Super Bowls, where's the bar where we can stop talking about whether or not Tom Brady is the best quarterback in history? Because guess what, folks? I know you don't love him. I know that you're jealous his wife is incredibly hot.
Yes.
I know you're jealous that he's got beautiful children and that baby maker is amazing.
Boom.
But I'm telling you, he's the best quarterback in the history of football. This is Jordan. Look how much we all miss Kobe in the NBA.
We do.
You're going to miss Tom Brady. My wife doesn't even like Tom Brady. My wife complains that Tom Brady has huge teeth. Okay, he's got huge teeth, but he's an effing really good quarterback.
Yeah.
And I love watching the guy play.
Yeah.
And when Tom Brady's not here anymore, I'm guessing that we will miss Tom Brady when he is not here anymore.
Well, what you miss is we won't miss Brady. We will miss his ability to create special moments in the game that we didn't think were possible. That's what we're going to miss. We're going to miss the Falcons' comeback in the Super Bowl when there was no chance he was coming back, and then he did it.
How many quarterbacks in the NFL right now are capable of that? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, right?
Totally capable. Capable is an interesting word. I think how many people have actually done it? Rodgers has done it. I would say Stafford is capable of doing it, given that all his boys are healthy.
Wow, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I'm not saying he's better than Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying he's better than Tom Brady, but Matthew Stafford has big-time arm talent and dominates the offense the way guys like Brady and Rodgers do.
Well, Matt Ryan
comes
very
to mind.
Clearly. I'm
Russell
curious.
Wilson?
I don't
tough.
See Russell Wilson. But Russell Wilson's not a deep ball thrower.
No.
Russell Wilson kills you with efficiency.
Yeah.
And effectiveness at
and
efficiency.
Buying time.
Right? Like, that's what Russell Wilson's really good at. So one of the things that really stands out to me about Tom Brady is he can throw short, he can throw deep. And if Gronkowski's healthy and plays, which he says he is in the concussion thing.
What do you make of that, though? I mean, is he going to be – there's no football player at this time of the year is 100%, but is he as healthy as he could possibly be for this game?
Well, the concussion thing, again, I'm the guy who's terrified of concussions. They scare the hell out of me. But I look at Rob Gronkowski as the true difference maker in this game, because if you look at the Eagles against the tight end, Kelsey got him for 103 and a touchdown. Jordan Reed got him for 64 and two scores. They struggle against tight ends. Rob Gronkowski is a wide receiver playing tight end. He's a big physical bruiser. He's really critical, because I don't see the Chris Hogans of the world beating that Philly defense. And I also think that Tom Brady is going to have to get some help with balls in the air.
Yeah.
When he's going to be under pressure, I think. Although it's interesting. I was reading blitz numbers out of Jim Schwartz's defenses. He only blitzes. He's like the 16th most active blitzer in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
And he does not blitz elite quarterbacks. He plays cover seven, oddly enough, which is what I think the Patriots are going to play. But that Schwartz defense plays cover sevens against elite quarterbacks. Tom Brady kills those defenses.
Yeah, and the reason he kills them is because he can pick them apart. He can find his window because he knows where his guy is going to be before you do. You know, so for me, I would rather see him blitz up the middle and get in his face.
I don't see the Eagles, like one of the guys on Periscope is saying 3 sacks and 10 hits on Tom Brady. They're not going to get after him.
I could see 10 hits, but not 3 sacks.
They're not, the Philadelphia Eagles are not going to go after Tom Brady enough to get there. Jim Schwartz does not believe in blitzing elite quarterbacks. He's not going to blitz guys. He isn't going to blitz Aaron Rodgers. He didn't blitz, you know, I don't know that I can find it again quickly enough, but Jim Schwartz just does not blitz elite quarterbacks. And the fact that he only blitzed 25% of the time, which is 16th in the NFL, he blitzed Dak Prescott, Brock Osweiler, and Kirk Cousins, but did not blitz Alex Smith, did not blitz Eli Manning, and only blitzed on 8% of his dropbacks or of their dropbacks against the top five quarterbacks in the NFL over his career. He doesn't blitz elite quarterbacks. And I think it's smart. The problem is Tom Brady has the weapons to beat cover seven, which if you don't know what cover seven is, not to be all technical, cover seven basically is having two high safeties bracketing wide receivers. And what that makes you do is it makes you throw short, which allows your defense to tackle. And he's got great tacklers. The issue is that Tom Brady is incredibly accurate. And he's got receivers, Amendola, Rob Gronkowski,
Hogan.
They're elite zone receivers. They know the area they need to be in. They know where the stick's at. They're not a guy that catches it half a yard short of a first down.
Yeah. Patriots, those are the plays that matter.
Yeah, the Patriots are built to beat cover seven. And so it'll be interesting to see how he does that. But I love Jim Schwartz as a defensive mind. I just don't like the talent matchup. In this game, it'll be really interesting. Again, he's 1-6 against the Pats and Brady, which I think is incredible. You know, Schwartz, he can change things up.
How much does mental warfare come into this matchup? Because going against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, you can't tell me that there's not a... I'm not going to say the Eagles are intimidated, because they're not. They have no reason to be. But I'm just saying, at what point does it creep into the back of your mind that, yeah, we're playing the Patriots. We're playing Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the boys. That's got to creep in on some level.
At what point are you, as a wide receiver on Philadelphia, saying, man, what if Tom Brady was my quarterback?
Yeah.
With no slight to Nick Foles.
They're not. He's just not on Brady's level.
Nick Foles is not the guy that I'm telling you, that game. ESPN had an article today, and I'm trying to find it in this article.
Now, was this actually a facts-based article, or was this made up?
Thank you.
Sorry.
My bad. Here it is right here. He essentially, before the Vikings game, he was 87.9 rated against the blitz.
Yeah.
Against the Vikings, he rated himself 142.3. Like,
is
Nick
that
Foles,
a Nick Foles thing, or is that a Vikings thing?
That's Nick Foles having a great day. Versus the pressure, when they had pressure in his face, he's a 39.3% passer.
Yeah. Well, and that's why you don't see him hold the ball too long.
Against the Vikings, he was 128.3 against a really good secondary. On third down, he's a 71 rated passer. Against the Vikings, he was 158 rated. Like, the guy was in the zone.
Right.
Nick Foles had a hell of a game against the Vikings. Well, don't take that away from him.
It's going to take that kind of performance to beat the Patriots. I mean, no doubt about that.
Yeah, I just don't see how you as a fan of the Eagles, I don't see how you don't have significant concern about this game. I really don't see how you have significant concern. I'm going 31-21 Patriots.
I think if the Patriots are scoring more than 20 points, the Eagles are in big, big trouble.
They will score. I think they will score. Because, again, I look at those Jim Schwartz defenses against the Patriots, and he's given up 7 more points.
I'm saying this is like 31-21. I think at the end, I think there's a garbage time touchdown, and I think that Tom Brady will seal this game early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Boy, there are just all kinds of stats that say Brady is the guy.
You can get buried in the stats, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at comparisons, and I'm looking at numbers. The New England Patriots, right? They scored like in 2003 when they beat Jim Schwartz. Okay, yeah. we're going back 13 years. They had been scoring 17.9 points a game. They scored 31 against Jim Schwartz's defense. All right, what about in Detroit in 2010? Because this is the only game in this 1-7 or 1-6 thing that was with Detroit.
Yeah.
The Patriots had been scoring, and this was in 2010, they had been scoring 28 points a game. They dropped 45 on his Lions defense.
And what do we attribute that to? We attribute that to Tom Brady's ability to pick apart that defense.
Yeah. Then you combine that
with not blitzing them, and you're asking for it's suicidal.
What Jim Schwartz likes to do on defense is what Tom Brady likes to do on offense, which is a huge problem. What you said earlier is exactly right. If you do not put a helmet in Tom Brady's face and at his feet, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
The Eagles have got to find a way to blitz and successfully blitz the A-gap. You've got to get home through the A-gap to beat Tom Brady. You got to make him move because he's not mobile, and you got to make him nervous. And those two things, it's very difficult to do against the Patriots. So I like 31-21.
Yeah, that's what I got to.
You're going, wow.
That's what I said.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go 31-21. And I think that the tight ends will win the game. Either Zach Ertz or Rob Gronkowski are going to have big games.
Yeah.
And that should mean a win. Speaking of Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We made a discovery in recent times that said that air fryers the greatest device in the history of home cooking.
It's a flexible tool.
That you hate.
I don't hate it.
Yes, you
Here's
do.
Here's what I hate.
Just admit it.
No. I don't hate using it. I hate cleaning it. It's a pain in the ass to clean.
Why?
Because it has a mesh basket that if you don't clean it 2 minutes after you're done using it, is very difficult to clean.
Okay. That's being lazy.
Is it?
Look, millennial, that's being... I'm kidding. It's not the easiest device to clean. I would agree with that, but...
It's effective.
What the air fryer puts out, I've never had better wings. And I'm kind of a wing snob because mainly...
Kind of?
Well, I'm fat. Let's be honest. Okay, so I know a good buffalo wing, right?
Right.
I've had my fair share of really good wings.
Uh-huh.
And I have never enjoyed a wing more. Well, Wingstop in Los Angeles in the hood. We used to go to Ghetto Wingstop in L.A.
Yeah.
And it was the greatest Wingstop ever. Those were good wings.
Yeah.
The wings that we made in the air fryer the other day are the second best wings I think I've ever had.
Now those weren't regular sized wings.
No, those were drumettes.
Drumettes.
And I'm a wing snob. I'm a guy who believes that look, if I'm going to eat wings, they need to be drumettes. It's just that simple.
Right.
I need ranch dressing, I need lemon pepper seasoning, and I need that on drumettes.
And honey barbecue.
No. Well, I mean, hey, look, if you're single and you want to be single the rest of your life and you don't lift, you get honey barbecue. But as a man, as somebody that pumps iron and the chicks dig me, I eat lemon pepper. Trust me, let's put it this way, young boy. It'll put a little hair on your chest. All right, well, you're hairy as an ape. Anyway, all of this to say, I'm a lemon pepper fan.
Right, we get
okay,
it.
Okay, see,
we
I'm a lemon it. Pepper fan. Uh-huh. And... In the air fryer, the lemon pepper wings in the air fryer, dipped in a little ranch, they didn't even make it out of the kitchen.
Okay.
Right? Like, they didn't even, you know.
So what's the most exotic thing you've cooked with the air fryer so far?
I cooked burgers in there. Just okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, my wife made amazing sweet potato french fries in there. They were great. She's making signs
on
Facebook Live.
Okay, if you're
on
Facebook right now. Mrs. Monty is doing the whole Sharpie sign thing.
Get a life. Anyway,
she's off stage left here.
Yeah, she's off. Well, right for me,
left for you. Because I'm more important.
What is the most exotic thing we've made in there?
Probably sweet potatoes.
They were okay. They were just.
I would prefer
right,
to
right?
bake them.
I mean, I prefer to bake them too.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna do wings in there for
wings
Super Bowl.
Are automatic. Wings are automatic. You could do any kind of frozen fry automatic.
We got to talk about. Oh, by the way. We got to talk about the treasure truck from Amazon.
Oh, boy.
So, Amazon, we happen to be Amazon Prime fans in this house. Mm-hmm. Well, because we're ballers. But anyway, the point is, my wife's been a Prime member for however long. Who knows when she became a sucker for Amazon. But she is. So, she occasionally get a text or an email that says, hey, the treasure truck is going to steal money from your pocket today in Camelback, in the Camelback district of Phoenix.
It'll okay, be lit. It'll
Camelback
be lit.
East. Yeah, all right.
It's awesome.
Right in the Creamery parking lot. Again, I'm fat. I like ice cream.
But today we
didn't
resisted.
Have any. No, because the force is strong in this one. Anyway, the point is, I did not have Creamery ice cream, right?
Right.
So what they did have on the treasure truck was that slider kit. For Super Bowl. Uh-huh. You know, little sandwiches, sliders.
Yeah, sliders. Like pulled pork sandwich sliders.
Yeah, so you got Wagyu beef, yeah, chicken, like it, just an awesome selection of meat,
mm-hmm.
buns and cheese to make 12 sliders for $24.
Nice.
Boomtown.
Nice.
I like it.
Now,
you order
do you remember what we got from Costco the other day? For our
Super
Bowl
party? Oh, the mini tacos.
We're making those in the air fryer.
So, yes, I would agree with that. So, Costco had a sale on mini tacos.
For
that,
a day.
That you, yeah, $3 off the box. They were sampling them. I'm fat. I ate the sample.
Obviously.
They were really good.
Yeah.
They were amazingly good. So we got a box of those. They're going to be huge at the
huge.
Super Bowl party.
Huge.
We're going to release the mini taco memo.
Are you a girther or no?
There's no way Donald Trump is anything under 3 bills.
Yeah.
He's 5'11", 300 pounds.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. Okay. The guy eats McDonald's. Did you hear why Donald Trump eats at McDonald's, by the way?
No.
He eats at McDonald's because he's scared people will poison his food. And he knows that if he goes to McDonald's that they make it. So they'd have no idea he's coming. They'll make it and somebody, one of his minions will pick it up. And he'll eat it and he doesn't have to worry about his food. This is like Maximus Decimus in Gladiator. Remember when they were feeding him after it was Maximus, Maximus, and they hand the soup out the window and the guy's like, General, and this like, it's time for you to eat, Maximus, you
right.
fat ass, come
right.
over here.
Yeah, get over here.
And then they eat it, they sample it, and they play dead, but it's not poison. But Donald Trump believes that he will be poisoned if he has food made for him at the White House, which I think is ridiculous. This is a paranoid dude. Trying to rationalize the irrational, don't do it. Anyway, here, no, there. So Donald Trump eats at McDonald's so often because he knows he won't be poisoned when he goes to McDonald's. By the way, even if they don't put poison in there, you're being poisoned, Don. So I'm just saying. My point is, we're going to make mini tacos in the air fryer.
Boom.
I'm trying to think what else. I want my wife to make this,
I want it.
This crown of ribs.
That's not an air fryer approved item, though.
But well, duh, they're not going to fit in there. Yeah. And we would have to, I think don't we have to buy like a slow cooker for that? We don't own a slow cooker. We bought a slow cooker from Amazon, but it was broken when it was delivered. It was purple. It was like pimp juice. It was really a cool color, but it was broken when they delivered it, so we sent it back.
Bummer.
Bottom line, I don't have a slow cooker.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife made a crown of ribs with cornbread in the middle. That was amazing. I want her to make that. She won't. She doesn't love me, so she never makes me blueberry pie anymore.
Right.
Like, she doesn't make me things I like.
Right.
She makes
you eat asparagus and Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, please. Just do yourself a favor. And this is a gift from Uncle Monty. Do not.
PSA.
Yeah. Do not make Brussels sprouts in the air fryer because it smells like somebody crapped in your house for like 2 days. I'm just saying. By the way, Brussels sprouts suck, and they're great for you. So you shouldn't eat them. Anyway, the point is, there's things to make in the air fryer and there's things not.
Uh-huh.
French fries? Yes, because there's no oil. The thing about an air fryer is it doesn't use oil. It uses hot circulating air.
Mm.
Sweet potato fries? Yes. Mini tacos? Yes.
Quesadillas?
Quesadillos?
Yes.
Now, we have a wonderful toaster oven for quesadillos. So I would say no to the air fryer on quesadillas. Nachos?
No.
No?
Nah, because it's just a pile of chips at that
pork
point.
Chops.
Inside. Yes, pork chops.
Pork chops 100%. For sure.
100%.
Hot dogs. Nah, we don't really eat hot dogs. Unless we're at Costco and we had one the other day.
Yeah.
But how did you pick... You really pissed me off the other day, and I don't know why we're not talking sports right now, but we're not. So you went to Costco, you went to Cafe 150, and you got a chicken bake instead of a french fry, or instead of a hot dog.
Yeah.
Same thing. Again, I have french fries. You got a chicken bake instead of a hot dog. There's something wrong with that.
Why?
Because Costco hot dogs are amazing.
All right, I understand.
But why would you get a chicken bake?
Because they're awesome.
Right, they're not better than hot dogs. And we almost never eat at Cafe 150, so why would you not take that opportunity
because
to slurp down a mighty dog?
Okay, listen.
Toss that hot dog down the hallway. Do it!
I was taking the opportunity to enjoy a chicken bake, and that's
probably
that.
Probably too much. Anyway, chicken bake was fine, I guess. I ate a hot dog, and I liked it. Are we going to have a strike in Major League Baseball? It was two hot dogs. I admit I'm fat. Anyway, I want it.
The strike is coming. It's coming.
There is a strike that could happen right now. So if you don't know this, follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. If you don't know this, you would by now think that spring training's about to start and everything's good. Well, you would be misinformed. Because Major League Baseball players are incredibly frustrated. And if you follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show, you would have seen that one of the most powerful agents in baseball, not named Scott Boras, is Brody Van Wagenen.
Yeah.
And Brody wrote an open letter that essentially said players are considering sitting out spring training until February 24th, which is the mandatory reporting date. Because free agency has been so slow, they feel like there's collusion on part of the owners to save money and drive down salaries so that the profit margin goes up. Because they're not making enough money. Jeffrey Loria, who just sold the Marlins, cleared $1 billion in profit. Which, by the way, he's not giving back to Miami-Dade County, which he agreed to, but he's not because he's a liar. But he cleared $1 billion in the sale of the Marlins, and they're not making enough money.
But this is more about year-to-year, I would say, more than just selling the entire franchise.
It is. Brody Van Wagenen wrote, I would usually suggest that testing the will of 1,200 alpha males at the pinnacle of their professions is not a good strategy. For 30 men who are bound by a much smaller fraternity, these 1,200 players have learned firsthand that battles are won through teamwork, and they understand that championships can't be achieved by individuals. They are won by a group, united by a singular focus, victory at all costs. They are willing to sweat for it. They are willing to sacrifice for it. And they are willing to cry for it. But most importantly, they are willing to bleed for it.
Yeah.
This is a power agent saying players are considering boycotting spring training until February 24th. Because they don't get paid until April 2nd. So they're not getting any money for spring training.
Yeah.
Now, Ken Rosenthal of The Atlantic had a report today that said there was a union call with union reps and union management for the players. And the players said, hey, what do you guys think? Would it be feasible to boycott spring training as a whole until February 24th?
So the whole thing until day one of the regular season?
No. Nobody reports until February 24th, the mandatory reporting.
Okay, right.
Major League Baseball Players Association management said, no, that would be a work stoppage and a hostile work stoppage, which is against our collective bargaining agreement with the owners. But I say to hell with the CBA. If they're colluding against you to sign players, which, hey, by the way, you better have
evidence of that,
or you're no better than a guy releasing an intelligence memo that was written by the same guy who released it and it has no credibility, you'd be no better than that.
Right.
See, that was a CNN Fox News
I get it.
Reference.
You're taking garbage politics and putting it in the best game on
Devin
the planet.
Devin Nunes runs Major League Baseball.
Right.
Anyway, the point is, if players sit out and boycott baseball, they would be in trouble. It would cost them a lot of money and fines and penalties.
And it would set them back in their fight.
And I think it would lose the public interest.
Yeah.
Because it's not as though you can prove that owners are colluding not to sign free agents. My question is, where's Yu Darvish? Now, he's a really good example because there are multiple teams who say, hey, we've made him a five-year offer, but he wants to be a Dodger.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, then where the hell is Jake Arrieta? Because Jake hasn't gotten a contract. Like, there's a laundry
list.
There's
a list, dude.
Of free agents who should, under any normal circumstances, have contracts now.
Yeah.
And they don't. And players are pissed about it. Would you strike? Would you not go to spring training until the mandatory reporting?
Yeah, I mean, I think if it matters that much to you, which it should, then I wouldn't do it. I mean, as you know, everything's different for pitchers than it is for position players, I would say. Just because of the way everything works in baseball.
But what they're talking about is exactly what the football players are doing.
Yeah.
Football players are going to have a training camp, a tryout camp, for guys who are undrafted free agents and other free agents who are unsigned that all the managers can come to, all the coaches, talent evaluators can come to.
Right.
Free agent pitchers and regular pitchers would spend the time that they're boycotting spring training, having their own spring training, having a players only spring training.
Yeah.
And they're talking about doing that in Miami because the two best trainers in professional sports are based in Miami.
Yeah.
So they're talking about having a training camp, a spring training, if you will, at the University of Miami Baseball Complex, which is massive and sprawling and a lot of guys work out there anyway. I don't know if it works or not. And I think it'd piss me off if baseball players boycotted for something they thought was happening.
You can't do it for something you thought was happening,
a
hunch or a gut feeling. It has to be. This is very close to the Kaepernick discussion, right? Because his whole thing was, well, the owners are colluding against me.
Which I agree.
And which is very different in the NFL than it is in Major League Baseball. So here we have a situation where you have a bunch of free agents who feel like they're not being signed because the owners group in Major League Baseball doesn't want to pay them in order to drive up profits for themselves.
Okay, do you agree with the players? Do you think owners are colluding against players? Which means owners have gotten together, and this is a big deal.
You need to understand. Yeah, this is a huge deal.
If you say that owners are colluding against players, you're essentially saying that 30 owners, the owners of baseball teams, have gotten together and said, we're not signing free agents in this period to drive their price down, to make them desperate, to make them sweat. We'll sign them right before spring training or late in spring training. Because what has Jake Arrieta said? Screw you. I will not sign until I get the offer I want. And if that means April, I'll sign in April, May, or June. I don't care.
Yeah.
So do you think owners are colluding?
I have a real tough time thinking that 30 owners got together and said, well, we're not going to sign everybody. I could see maybe 5 or 6, a little group within the owners group doing it.
Yeah, but me too.
30 is excessive. I mean, that would just be you would have to have undeniable proof that this is happening. And my suspition is they don't.
Tough to do.
My suspicion is this is a situation where the players know it's happening, but they don't have proof. They don't have anything that's rock solid that can say, hey, look, I got this on paper, which means they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the really tough part. When you know something is happening and you can do nothing about it, what kind of position does that put you in?
Yeah. And again, the message on Periscope and a lot of people are saying that, hey, listen, these are millionaires crying about millionaires.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with that.
It's principle, not money. It's principle.
It's principle, not money.
Yes.
That I 100% agree with.
These guys don't need the money. And again, you gotta put this in context too. These are professional athletes we're talking about. These guys are millionaires, set for life, already done. Most of them. I would say 90% of these guys that are doing this are set for life money-wise. This is about principle. This is them saying, hey, look, yeah, I've got the money for the rest of my life, but let's just get a little more to make sure. And I'm going to do everything I can to get that money. And so if it was me, we're real estate agents. We flip houses. We're trying to get all the money that we can get out of every deal. So I can only imagine how it feels as an MLB player like Jake Arrieta, who's at the forefront of free agency, who feels like, hey, maybe I'm not being
signed. Maybe something's wrong here.
You know?
Maybe something's wrong here.
And I can see that.
Again, I don't disagree. And I'm just reading different opinions from around Major League Baseball. And most people are saying, hey, yeah, I think that there's something going on here. And But it's what you think. And that's
your
the
suspicion.
Problem. You don't have legitimate proof that there is collusion here.
Yeah.
And if you don't have legitimate proof, I think to what RKB's saying, you're a millionaire that's whining about the way millionaires are treating you. And you're talking about, and I think it was RKB who said you're talking about this with people who live paycheck to paycheck and the average baseball fan.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I think it's awfully difficult to say to a baseball fan, well, you know, we need to go on strike, so screw you. Like, I think there's a that is very difficult.
But who has
difficult.
More to lose here? Because you can make a case both ways that the players have more to lose and the owners have more to lose. It just kind of depends how you look at it.
I always think the owners have more to lose.
If there's no product on the field, the owners are paying for that cost. They're losing that money, right?
Yeah.
So for the players, their contracts, and I don't know the full legality of it, but I'm pretty sure that if they're on strike, they're not getting paid either. But once they get reinstated, that contract's good.
Yeah.
I believe that's how it works.
Correct.
So the owners have more to lose here. But I think the owners know that the players have no evidence here. So it'll be interesting to see how this kind of comes together, because you can't tell me an agent like that doesn't put out an open letter if nothing's happening. He doesn't just make that up. That's not something that just comes out and says, hey, I had nothing better to do because free agency's so quiet.
But this has been a long, long, long discussion since middle of November. Because what have we said all offseason? We've talked Major League Baseball hot stove on this podcast every single day.
Cold stove, apparently.
Yeah, and what have we said? When are the signings coming? When are the trades coming? When are the significant moves in Major League Baseball coming?
Yeah.
And I haven't seen.
It's not as though there have been zero moves, but there hasn't been that big time. Because my opinion was, okay, well, they're going to wait to sign everybody right before spring training. There's going to be this massive, like, 3-4 day block of just, like, craziness that our phones are going to be lit up. And it hasn't happened.
We haven't seen that.
No.
We haven't seen that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people haven't seen that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people believe this. Anyway, here nor there, it'll be interesting to see what they see or not. Hey, another thing I think is a really big story right now is this Russell Westbrook situation, where a fan in Milwaukee got in Russell Westbrook's face last night, and Westbrook shoved him away. And then you see security come running in. And this fan just, like, pounds on his chest like, I'm a tough guy.
And it's, like, clapping in Westbrook's face and stuff.
What is this fan doing? Is there any fault that belongs to Russell Westbrook?
I don't think so. Russell Westbrook wasn't looking for a fan to get in his face. How can it be his fault? And I got to say, I give Westbrook, a lot of credit for a guy who's a fiery NBA player and lives on that emotional edge. He showed great control. I mean, he could have punched this dude in the face and leveled him, but he didn't. He just pushed him back with his offhand, because he had a basketball in his right hand, I believe, and pushed him off with his left.
He did.
And so I think that was an appropriate response from an NBA player who all of a sudden pans his head back to the left and he's got a screaming fan in his face. How does that happen?
Yeah, it's a huge
problem. The Nuggets should face monetary fines for this. Like, they should. How does that? That can't happen at the end of a game.
What is this song you're playing?
It's called Some Nights.
Is it from The Lion King or something?
You've never even seen The Lion King.
Right, but I...
That's an embarrassment that you would ask that.
Because it has a crappy soundtrack. Is this from The Lion King?
No, it's not.
What's it from?
It's Some Nights by the group Fun.
It's from one of those movies.
No, it's not.
Okay. I'm going to look it up now. Here anyway. I think this fan should be banned from
you should. Yeah.
I mean, I don't see
this in other sports too, right? Like, you see it in even overseas. You see it in the Premier League all the time, where they'll get a streaker on the field. He's gone. I mean, you see it in all across sports. You do. So yeah. he should be banned from the stadium. It's that simple.
I really despise this. You see it a lot more in football and baseball, where somebody will jump on the field.
Yeah.
I think you should, if you jump on the field and you are convicted, I don't think you should ever be allowed to go to another sporting event. I take it that seriously.
I mean, I would agree with you. I mean, because what's stopping you, like, if you did it at Wrigley Field, what's stopping you from doing it at Guaranteed Low Rate Field? Right?
Like, nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
And it's a huge problem. So I really am surprised that Russ didn't drop that guy. But here's the problem. That fan runs on the court, accosts him, like, celebrating in Russ's face because they lost at the buzzer.
He was giving it to him, man.
Yeah. If Russ punches him in the face, that guy sues Russ and probably wins.
and Russ is out the money.
Yeah, and that sucks. If you're Russell Westbrook, you can't let that happen.
But that's why I said you got to give him credit because that is a situation that's likely to happen, and Russ chose not to do that.
Yeah, I really am bothered by it. And nobody seems to care that people jump on the field. Nobody cares that people.
I think
run
a lot
on
of people
court.
Love it. They love people who are streaking across the field and like are messing with security, and it's entertaining. It's like it ruins the on-field product. It's messing with it.
Yeah, and I start thinking about how an umpire was attacked in Chicago at U.S. Cellular Suck Hole where the White Sox play. I think about that incident. I just think about players getting dropped or football players knocking fans out on the field, which we've seen.
Yeah.
LeGarrette Blount doing his thing in
but
the heat of the motion after a game.
And you get on a football field, I think it's fair for a player to level you.
I do too.
That's not unreasonable.
If you run out onto a field, a court, a pitch, and if you run onto a playing surface, they should be able to knock you out and you can't sue them because you have no, that's their place of business and it's a highly emotional situation and you run out onto the field. It's why fans storming the court.
That's what I was going to go to next. Why is it okay in college
when
there's a buzzer beater? Why is that cool?
They're trying to get rid of that. They're trying to get rid of.
But how do you stop that without putting a wall up or something or some kind of like barrier that surrounds the
court? You don't, because fans coordinate it. College fans coordinate it. And the problem is it's neat and it's nifty in March.
It's hipster.
It's still very dangerous. Why do you think now that they make collapsible goalposts that fold down? Because fans were jumping on the goalposts and getting hurt and suing the institutions for that.
Yeah.
Why do you think they grease, light poles in Philadelphia? Because fans were climbing light poles and getting hurt and suing the city.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's the McDonald's lady drinking coffee who goes through the drive-thru, spills coffee in her crotch, and sues McDonald's because it was too hot. And that was a landmark lawsuit.
How does that happen?
Because there is no accountability. That's the problem.
Well, there's accountability for corporations, apparently.
But not for stupidity.
Yeah.
Because the corporations are vulnerable because they have the money. And it really, the word is litigious. It's that litigious mentality. It's our litigious society that really bothers me.
Yeah.
Because what happened to breaking your ass and making a dollar? Now everybody's looking for a free ride. Yes, I play the lottery, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go sue somebody. Now, if you knew there was a spill on the floor in your store and you didn't fix it, I break my back, I'm kicking your ass in court.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you, anyway, point is, there's ways and reasons to sue. You spilled coffee on your crotch is not one of them.
No.
Okay? You ran onto a field or a court and got jacked up, that shouldn't be one of them either.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think we can leave this show without talking about the Larry Nassar thing.
Dude.
So Dr. Nassar, that creep, that rapist, that sexual assaulter that assaulted women in the U.S. gymnastics program and athletes at Michigan State, was again in court today hearing from more of his victims. And these two women are giving their story, and their father is standing there with them. And the father is really pissed, really emotional, and how could he not be? And he starts cursing in the courtroom and addressing the judge. And the judge said, hey, look, I know this is an emotional and a volatile situation, but you can't curse in court. I'm happy to give you a chance to speak, but you can't curse.
Right.
And he said to her immediately, okay, well, then I want you to give me 5 minutes alone in a room with this creep.
Before he goes to jail.
And the judge was like, no, we can't do that. That's not how this works. You know that. How about 1 minute? And she's like, sir, you know we can't do that. And then he just starts rambling a little bit. And no sooner had he started rambling, the father sprinted towards Nassar sitting at the table and got to him. And then got tackled before he could assault him. And my instinct, my natural instinct is like, yeah!
Going to face discipline.
Yeah. Nassar?
No. The father.
No,
the father
won't face discipline.
Nassar is, obviously.
But I oddly found myself cheering for that father.
Yeah.
It's the completely wrong thing to do, right? I know we want to kill him and beat him and kick him and stone him and tar and feather him. I get that. It's not what a civilized society does, right?
And that's...
Because what song are you playing here?
What goes around, comes around.
Right? Like, and that's... He's going to prison. And he is going to
suffer. It's coming around.
He is going to suffer in prison. And I have no sympathy for that man, Larry Nassar. None. I wanted that guy to reach him today. I wanted that father to plant a fist in his face.
It's just so egregious what he did. That's the thing.
I mean, this guy serially and like sexually assaulted women.
He intentionally ruined people's lives.
And Michigan State did nothing to stop it. They knew about it. There were multiple, over a dozen accusations, and Michigan State did nothing to stop
it. Blew it off.
Like, I don't even know how. Anyway, we've talked ad nauseum on this. If you haven't heard it, find us on SoundCloud, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, or subscribe to us in iTunes, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. We've talked all about it the last several weeks, but I really want, I feel bad saying it, but I wanted that guy to get there.
Yeah.
I wanted him to reach Nassar.
Totally agree.
It's the wrong thing. What about rooftoppers? I feel bad ending the show on this.
Right.
Explain what rooftoppers are.
Rooftoppers are a YouTube sensation. And I think it goes back about a year now for when it first blew up. Essentially, a rooftopper is somebody who climbs to extreme heights in the city, whether that's a rooftop or an antenna pole or whatever it might be, and takes selfies. And some of them choose to take that selfie while hanging off the building or whatever structure they're on and have died doing it. And it's...
Yet there are millions and millions of views on YouTube.
Yeah.
This is the Tide Pod thing. How do we fix stupidity like this?
It's the same concept as that, except the...
Well, people are dying from the Tide Pods.
No, yeah, that's what I know. I'm saying that's why it's the same concept. Both of them share that same concept. But at the same time, I think the guy who most recently died did it because he was trying to, like, get out. And that was his plan. That was his whole reason for doing it. And he died doing it. And so I don't know if that changes it at all. I mean, yeah, I agree. It's not smart to be climbing on top of buildings with, you know, with no protection. Like, none.
But you watched the video.
Oh, I absolutely did. Because this may sound crazy, but that's not something you see every day. You don't see somebody go through that every day. The way, like, that's not a car accident. That's not somebody, you know, just dying of natural age. That's somebody who was literally got caught in the moment hanging off the side of a 60-story building. And you saw him realize, uh-oh, I can't get back up. This is my time. You saw him realize that, and then it happened. And it's just, nobody ever wants to be in that position. It's just crazy.
Then why did you climb that radio tower?
Well, that's the obvious question.
There are people climbing radio towers, cranes on top of new skyscrapers. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Let's finish the show talking about sex.
Okay.
Did you hear about this sex doll? There's a Chinese sex doll. And it's a smart sex doll. It will talk to you. It will play your favorite music while you are repopulating the earth with that sex doll.
Hey, baby.
And it will even do the dishes. You're a guy that has struggled to find, quote, the one?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can get you the web address for this sex doll company.
So I put on God's Plan by Drake, and I just realized that this is a very fitting song right now, you know? Yeah, you know, I just realized that this song had to come out.
It's a good song, by the way.
It is.
I have never considered a blow-up doll a sex doll. I would never. That just is not my grind.
You know where stuff like this comes from?
It's called pornography.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
I'm serious.
Obvious. No,
I'm serious.
It's a deeper root than that, though.
No pun intended.
It comes from the internet and people not getting out and talking to people and socializing and having a life. That's
so wait,
where this
you mean
comes
millennials?
From. No, it's not just millennials.
No, it's not millennials.
You're a person who likes to hate on millennials. I get it.
Me? Come on, you jobless jerks are just great people.
Right.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding. It's not a millennial thing. I think you're right. I think it is.
It is a bit, that is a big problem for millennials. I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is this has been going on for a long time.
But it's why catfish exists.
Exactly.
It's
why, perfect example.
It's why you have a sect in our society who relishes the thought of, ooh,
and you know why that was made? That was made because there was an opportunity to make money, and people are capitalizing on other people's weaknesses.
It's just so ridiculous.
That's why that was made.
Dude, it's not a human being. You get that, right? Like, it's
no, but what does that do? What does that do? What does that do at the end of it?
Do you want me to explain to you how it works?
It forces you, it forces you to not have the human interaction. That's what it forces you to do.
It is. It's true. It is very impersonal.
Yeah.
But why does it need to talk then? They're making them much more personal. They're making them do your dishes. Because it goes back to this idea about pornography. And I know you're tired of hearing me saying this, but pornography is the great destroyer of men. We've all watched it as men at one point in our lives. So let's not even beat around the bush. Okay, that came out totally wrong. And I did not do that intentionally. But let's not lie about it. We've all watched pornography at one point in our life, right? I think in some way or fashion, even if it's going to the gym or driving down the road, you're exposed to sex and the sexualization.
All the time, all day long.
Your brain is constantly exposed to sexual images.
Yeah.
And now I think there's a whether you're shy or there's you have some type of oddity in your personality, there's a market for that.
Yep.
And if you can get a sex doll that will walk and talk and do dishes and
you
play your favorite songs,
something that will not push back on you on any level in any category of your life, you're going to do that because it's comfortable.
And now, again, not to always talk about my relationship, but my wife is my check and balance. Like, my wife puts up with almost none of my bullshit. Mm. Like, almost none of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The sex doll is never going to tell you, hey, you need to put the phone away and go to sleep.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to fold your laundry. Hey, man, you haven't eaten. It's 9 o'clock. You probably should eat something. Right? Like, there's no check and balance. Hey, you probably shouldn't buy that. Or, hey, you need to do this. People don't want checks and balances in their life.
Right.
I think that's really what this is. When I saw that Chinese sex doll story, I was like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Is that where our society
is? It is.
You're passionately opinioned about that, but you are tired of talking about CNN and Donald
Trump and
politics.
I'm tired of talking about... No. This is the difference. I'm passionate about that type of thing because it's taking advantage of people's weaknesses instead of building them up and giving them something constructive to work with. That's just taking the easy way out, as you refer to it. The reason I get tired of politics and Trump and like this whole Nunez release, like I get tired of that because it's inevitably at the end of the day, it's the same garbage recycled all day long. It's just more topics that not many Americans can relate to in their day to day. That's happening in the White House with a bunch of dudes that get paid to do a job that they should be getting paid like 80 grand to do, and they're getting paid like way over the top amounts of money that they don't deserve. So
you're just done with the whole, like, because I flipped on CNN in the truck today on Sirius.
Yeah.
And you were like, dude, I don't want to listen to this. I'm done with
because
this.
Because it's
like,
negative. That's the other thing. It's all negative. The whole thing is negative. Like, the whole thing. I never listen to, unless I'm with you, I never listen to it. Yeah. I don't listen to the news. I listen to music in my car. That's it. Like, it's just so negative because there's so many more outlets to get negativity now. Like, your phone, your radio, the TV. Like, you have to actually go out of your way now to find positivity. And
so
that's
we wind up talking about sports, real estate, how bad other real estate agents are.
Yeah, exactly.
And how awesome our flips are.
Yeah, exactly.
Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Patriots win 31-21. We'll talk about that Monday on The Monty Show.
Bye.
Bye.
Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Sit down.